This week, the New York Times ran a story about the late photographer Catherine Leroy. She went to Vietnam as a freelancer in 1966. Her incredible photos include a series that shows a Marine comforting his dying comrade. We'll link you at hearnow.org. Leroy died in 2006. A documentary about her life was released in 2015. It's called Kathy at War. In it, an actress reads from a letter Leroy wrote to her mother.
Dear Mama, not far from the Laos border, bloody combat is taking place between Marines and North Vietnamese regular troops. We go up the mountains single file, we assault the hillside, and we're shot at by Viets at the top from the bottom of deep bunkers. My film left for Saigon this evening. Kathy.
Well, the Times was noting Kathy Leroy in their series about how the Vietnam War in 1967 specifically changed the world. They called Leroy the greatest war photographer you've never heard of, and it occurred to us there might be others who took those images that changed the world. The photo of the monk self-immolating, the South Vietnamese general gun in outstretched hand about to assassinate a man, the little girl running down the dirt road, her clothing burned off by napalm, the man standing next to a tank, holding up the body of his dead child like an offering to the diffident South Vietnamese soldiers above him. Now, these pictures were all taken by AP photographers, and they're featured in the collection Vietnam, The Real War, a photographic history by the Associated Press. You can see some of them at hearnow.org, but a warning, they are disturbing, which is why they jolted so many Americans out of their seats and out into the streets to protest. The AP Saigon Bureau opened in 1950. The AP reporters and photographers were often critical of the war that started roughly in 55. They were criticized for that, but their observations proved true. When the book of photos came out in 2013, we spoke with Santiago Lyon, AP's director of photography, and I started with the work of Horst Foss, who grew up during World War II in Germany, asking, what should we pay attention to?
When we look at his work, I think the picture that you mentioned in the introduction that stands out to me is the image of the South Vietnamese farmer holding up his dead child to an armored personnel carrier full of South Vietnamese troops. It's just a heartbreaking image that sort of reflects the futility that people often feel in war, where they feel absolutely helpless and overwhelmed by circumstances and violence beyond their control.
What did Horst Foss say about having to see those images through the lens? I mean, you want to just take the camera and swing it at the soldiers and say, you know, respond to this man.
You know, I never had conversations with Horst about the specific photographs or even the specific feelings that he had covering this war. I think with a lot of people who document this sort of thing, there is a certain privacy. They prefer to let their photographs do the talking for them.
Yeah. Here's another one from Horst Foss, an American soldier with a hand-lettered slogan on his helmet, "War is Hell." Tight shot of that. Talk about Malcolm Brown. He's the one who took the picture, and there's a series, a whole series of pictures, because the AP office had been alerted that the Buddhist monks were going to go to the square and do something. And sure enough, one sits in the square, others come forward and pour gasoline on him, and he sets himself ablaze. This is in 1963. He did talk about that picture. He said the only thing that keeps you going in a time like that is to just keep taking pictures.
Yeah, Malcolm was a correspondent, so his specialty was the written word. But like many correspondents in that day, they were given cameras and encouraged to make photographs. So they were doing cross-format journalism 40 years ago. The particular image in question of the monk sitting there with a grimace of sorts on his face as he's engulfed in flames, that image really resonated because it was so dramatic, and it said that President Kennedy remarked to his ambassador at the time, having seen the picture, we're going to have to do something about that regime. So it's an example of photojournalism reaching into the halls of power and through its power having an effect on policy and events.
And again, the Buddhist monks were protesting persecution by the regime of the South Vietnamese, the U.S. ally in the war. We mentioned also the picture of the South Vietnamese chief of national police shooting a suspected Viet Cong official on a Saigon street, right on the street. It was a picture taken by Eddie Adams, and after the picture was taken, he turned, the chief of national police turned to Eddie and said something. What did he say?
I think he said something to the effect that this man had killed a lot of his people, the South Vietnamese people and the American people, and that was his way of justifying his assassination of the prisoner. You know, with that image of the execution, one of the things that often resonates with me is that there is newsreel footage of the same event.
Yeah.
But when you see the still picture, that's what stays with you, that moment frozen in time. It's one of the most remarkable war photographs ever taken, the instant somebody dies. I mean, it's on a par with Robert Capa's falling Spanish militiaman from the Spanish Civil War. It's one of those seminal war images that has never really been repeated.
But more as a photo than as a video. And in fact, you have the frames from Eddie Adams, who took more than one photo, next to it. And that one, of all of them, that's the one.
And that photograph haunted Eddie Adams for many years. And I think his way, one of the ways he dealt with that was by setting up a tuition-free workshop for photographers 25 years ago, which still goes on to this day, where he educated photographers free of charge up at his barn up in upstate New York, and his widow, Alyssa, carries on that work today.
We read in your book that the photographers were often criticized by people back home for not stopping some of these things that they captured.
Well, it's always a difficult dynamic for a photographer in the field when faced with such dramatic scenes and circumstances. At what point do you put the camera down and intercede, or do you conversely maintain your journalistic objectivity and keep making pictures? And I think, as in the case of Nick Ut, who made the picture of the napalm-covered girl running down the road, after he saw that she was in terrific pain because of the injury she had, he made sure that she got to hospital by taking her in his own car, and made sure that she was looked after and survived, and she's still alive and lives in Canada and does activism work around peace and the end of warfare and all of that, and he and she and Nick are still close mm-hmm. friends. So I think at some point the photographer reverts to their original condition of compassionate human being.
Yeah. We've spoken to Nick Ut about that photo. Let's listen.
After I took a picture to him, and I light up my camera, I pick her up and you know, carry her to my car and from there to the hospital, save her life.
Well, they're really quite something. Again, you look at them and you think, I know this picture. There's one of troops splayed across an area on a hill. Morning mist is shrouding them. So many are injured, and one is holding his hands up to the sky. And when I was younger, I thought that he was praying, crying out to God, but he's guiding a helicopter down. Here's another one with, you just see a machine gun being held up above water, hands, and the infantryman carrying it is underwater. He's fording a river. What are some that jump out to you?
Well, the picture that you described on the cover of the book of the soldier with his arms up in the air, that picture functions precisely because his gesture can be interpreted in so many ways. It can be a gesture of prayer. It can be a gesture of surrender, as though his arms are above his head because he's been ordered to put his hands above his head. It can also be interpreted as that he has just been wounded and he is somehow falling backwards, having been shot. I mean, it's one of those images that can be interpreted in different ways, and then you read the caption, which is ever important in terms of giving context to an image, and you realize that he's guiding a helicopter in to evacuate some of his wounded fellow soldiers.
That picture, along with others, was taken by Art Greenspan. He survived the war. Four AP photographers did not: Wintan Mi, Bernard Kohlenberg, Oliver Noonan, and Henri Ouet. Nick Ut also survived the war and continued to work for the AP for many decades, retiring just this week. Nick, bravo. We spoke to Santiago Lyon in 2013. It's here and now.